This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Yeah. Look. Jake and Amim, and they made a podcast called It If I Were You. Dealing advice left and right like a credible couple of Jews. I can't even lie though, on Monday I just be refreshing the feed. When that shit is over, don't worry, there's always a new one next week. Sometimes they help you, but mostly they just end up giving you shit. But that doesn't help me when I'm trying to find me a new Tinder bitch. Jake is the MVP, he racking up golden mics every week. Except for that one time when he said to kill all the dogs that are weak. I don't waste time with no other show, I just go straight to these guys' advice podcast. Quandary's so good that you gotta ask them for some help, just hope they reply to you fast. This has been years in the making, it started at their graduation from College of Humor. HeadGum forever, they're always big time, and Amir keep on stashing them acorns, you know it.
Okay, a little Drake parody.
Why not?
By Ryan Compass, a.k.a. Rye Bread.
I liked that, and I think it's because I like Drake and I like me, and it was both things combined.
Well, how is it you?
Well, like, he rapped about me.
Yeah, so, like, your favorite rapper, Drake, rapping about you would be the best thing ever.
Obviously the best thing.
Because he'd unless, be like...
Well, unless, it, like, unless he was coming at me, I wouldn't want, like, a diss track.
Oh, if he was like, yo, fuck you, man.
Oh, I would be so devastated. I would release, like, my own diss track, but it would just be like, yo, dude, why'd you say that bad shit about me?
Yeah, it makes me sad.
What'd I ever do to you, man? Yeah, like that kind of shit. Like, I guess not a diss track, a disappointed track.
That's good.
Yeah.
So you're disappointed in a somebody else's track.
Right. I'm not mad about your track. I'm disappointed about your track. I'm
you're like, why'd you say that shit about me? You know that it made me sad to hear it.
I didn't go outside for two whole days.
I wrote the addresses on them perfect. Ryan Compass says, if you have to, the only shout out I ask is that you call up my boy Jacob LeGrand. He's a herb for real,
Damn. But
he's had songs make it on the show before. I knew the name sounded familiar and taught me how to make mediocre music for advice podcasts. Wow. All right.
Cool.
So again, we're running a little low after 390 some odd episodes. We've had about like 750 submissions for theme songs. But if we haven't played yours yet, or if you've been sitting on an idea, now's your chance. ifireyoushow@gmail.com. Send it on over.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, the waiting list is as low as it's been in a while. So you have a great chance of getting your song on the show. Which isn't to say this one was bad and we had to just play
it
out
great.
Of desperation. We really appreciated it. All right. This is If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the web hosted by us. I'm Amir.
I'm Jake.
34 years old.
34 years old.
34 years young.
That's right.
Does it feel any different from 33?
It doesn't, but I don't think I like the number 34 quite as much.
As 33.
Yeah, I feel like everything's like over 30, but sub 35 is kind of the same age to me. But I was into the year 33 because I was calling it my Jesus year.
That's cool.
And I feel like part of, like, you know, I guess part of the reason Jesus dying was so sad.
Yeah.
Is because it was a man cut down in his prime, you know?
Yeah, he was, like, ready to do some awesome shit.
I guess I've just always thought of 33 as, like, the prime of my life.
Oh, so this is, like, and it's also the exact, like, third of 100.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you're going to do a third life crisis, live to 100, right, this is when that thing would happen.
Yeah, and I always think of my birthday in terms of, like, milestones. Mm-hmm. Like, getting old is always depressing, but it feels like if you're kind of staying on a path of, like, things good, good things happening that you're excited about, it's not sad.
Then that's fine.
Right. Like, I kind of remember having a rough 25th birthday because I felt like I hadn't accomplished anything that I had looked, I, like, didn't have a lot of money.
Interesting.
I, like, was in a weird place in a relationship, I think, and I was like, I couldn't make rent for a month, and I was like, what the fuck am I doing? What am I doing? But then when I turned 33, I, like, had just bought a house. I was getting married that year.
So you're like, okay, I'm 33, but it makes sense.
Yeah.
Because I was able to do things.
And I also remember when I turned 30 is when we launched HeadGum and when we shot our pilot.
That's right. HeadGum is 4 years old this week.
Mm-hmm. So like, it helps to, like, have milestones happening around your birthday.
You did have a panic attack.
Right. So I had a panic attack on my birthday.
So that, like, you would think that's all involved in the aging process. Do you think your panic attack had anything to do with your birthday?
So I don't think it did because I turned 34 on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
But I had, like, I had my party on Saturday. I, like, had dinner with my in-laws on Sunday.
How was that party? I forgot to follow up because you were talking about it last episode. You're going to have a party and invite people to a bar.
Right, yeah. I had been a little stressed. Did I talk about on the episode how many people weren't in town?
Well, yeah, you were like, everybody leaves in New York on the weekends, yeah, and so a lot of people were not going to come, and you're just going to be stressed out while you're there to say, like, who's going to come and who's not.
Yes. So I was not stressed out while I was there. We arrived, and I had, like, a nice surprise with Nick, Rad, and Laura.
Oh, that's nice.
Showing up, because, like, they have a young baby, and Laura had just, like, had her appendix burst last week, and she showed up in with an IV in her arm.
Oh, God.
So I was like,
that's awesome.
Yeah, and one of our friends who's a doctor, Presley, who I mentioned on another episode when Ben said that he didn't believe me that I knew a doctor.
I still don't, but continue.
Well, all right. Well, she said to me that it was a nice testament to my character that somebody showed up in an IV to my birthday party.
Well, that's nice.
So that made me feel nice. So even though people were out of town, it was like, wow, the people that could show up really did show up.
Okay.
So yeah, it was great. We had a fun night.
So then how did birthday party turn into panic attack?
Oh, okay. So, well,
first panic attack.
Right. I was wondering if I had had a panic attack before.
And you were also kind of wondering if this was a panic attack.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure if it was a panic attack.
I was doing some research, and the panic attack appears to be like a vague confluence of symptoms, not like a specific thing that you can test for.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll describe what I had, and then we can decide if it was a panic attack.
Okay.
So I was... I was
hyperventilating, scared, bleeding, and alone.
I'm trying to think when it started. I think I was like, I was at the office in New York, and I was driving to see an apartment.
What day of the week?
This is Monday.
Your actual birthday.
Monday, my actual birthday, around 11 a.m.
I can't think that that's a coincidence. Actual birthday, first panic attack. That seems like too random. Odds of it being a random occurrence.
Oh, so you think that it is set off by my birthday?
Not set off, but that was one of the... If, like, a panic attack is a bucket overflowing, then, like, that was one of the amounts of water that
led
to the overflowing.
I could see that. Because, so I'll tell you what my frame of mind was. It was sort of like, I kept on having the thought of, like, I'm in over my head,
uh-huh,
which definitely signifies panic attack.
Of course, yeah.
Like,
stretch too thin.
I'm spread too thin. I'm burning the candle at both ends.
Yeah.
I can't get out from under this.
Uh-huh.
I can't handle all this shit.
A lot of busyness.
Right. So it was things like we're building out the HeadGum office in New York.
Yeah.
And I'm like talking to contractors and getting quotes and dealing with Home Depot orders and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I think I was dealing with like maybe the D&D tour logistics of like booking hotels and flights and stuff.
Yeah.
And then also we were like writing another pilot. It was just like all of these lines of communication that were coming in, like emails that I needed to respond to. Oh, I had a directing job on Tuesday, the next day.
Uh-huh. And they wanted to hop on the phone.
They wanted me to address the notes on the script for the thing that we were shooting the next day.
Yeah.
Like promoting shows, just like all of this, like so many like it felt like open lines of communication that I couldn't just like archive. It was like everything needed my attention, and I was in charge of something in some way.
Like some sort of emotional Jenga. People just kept on adding blocks until right.
Asking me for stuff. And right. Mike was out of town and needed me to see an apartment for him.
Uh-huh.
So I was waiting. I'm trying to think what I was waiting to do with the contractor. We got an order from IKEA, but we didn't have a sink, and the guy couldn't hook up the plumbing to the sink unless we had the actual, all of the pieces. So I like drove the sink to the office, but I also had to give him money for like the second installment of his down payment. So I had to go to the bank.
Of just course. Like, yeah.
It was a lot of like email and text and calls, but then combined with like, I have to like actually do errands, like get a sink, get cash, go to an apartment.
And it was a Monday, which is the worst day. And right. also an August 5th, which is your birthday.
So yeah, maybe it was like all of that, like stressed about all of that stuff combined with like getting a lot of text messages from my family and like just like love and just like a lot of attention coming at my way.
Oh,
I was also utterly alone. So no
I mean,
one...
Jill was there, but like, you know, she wasn't really, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, she was at work. My brother was out of the city. I was just by myself in an empty office waiting for the contractor.
How was the weather?
Beautiful day. Perfect day.
Like, so it wasn't like pouring rain on you?
No. It was like 80 and sunny, low humidity.
Okay.
And I was just, and then I started like hyperventilating a little bit, but not like hyper, like, it was just like.
Shortness of breath.
Yeah, it was like, I can't catch my breath. It was like, wow,
awareness
my heart feels
breath.
Like it's beating really fast.
This is you in the office?
This is me in the office.
Alone. What time of day?
Around 11:30 or noon.
Okay.
And then
midday.
Midday. And I'm sort of thinking like, I'm like, I can't deal with everything. I'm like. Having this anxiety, oh, this is the other thing. So then I started thinking about the idea of anxiety and the feeling that I had. And I was thinking like, oh, my brother sometimes tells me he gets anxious before a date. And then I was thinking, oh, my sister just put an audition on self-tape and she's nervous about hearing back. And like my other sister is like stressed about launching her Kickstarter and my other sister is stressed at work. And like, So then I started thinking about other people's anxiety and stress and amplifying that in my head and sort of being like, everyone's stressed and sad and anxious like me. And I was like, I need to just go home. I have to go home to Connecticut and curl up on the couch and just tell everybody that everything is off. It's just, we're canceling my
entire... Today is canceled.
Today and the rest of time are canceled. And I knew that I shouldn't do that, and I couldn't, and I knew that I wasn't going to, but like driving to from the office to the apartment, every fiber of my being wanted to like take a left onto Rodney, get on the 278, and just drive to Connecticut and be like, I'm checking out. I need like rehab.
And then I need rehab.
The worst part of like, then I was doing that, and I was thinking like, okay, I was just like, I can just bail on everything. Like my safety net is I can bail on everything. My mom will still love me. I'll go home. I'll just be a Connecticut guy. but then I was
oh,
like,
you mean like retire?
Yeah, but then I was like, well, no, like even that's not an escape because you'll still have to like make appointments for like the dentist and stuff. Like you'll
you
always
can't be a Connecticut guy.
You'll always have communication coming in that you are responsible for.
And then you stare at your phone and you're like, this is an evil device.
And yeah, so then I started thinking like, okay, so you have to call Jill now and tell her that you're having a panic attack and that she and you need help like calming down. That's what you have to do. And then I was like, no, she's at work. She's stressed about her job.
You don't want to add that to
her. I'm not going to add. Yeah. Like, this will ruin her whole day. And she's planning on taking me out to dinner that night. I'm like, and then she's like going to be worried about taking me to dinner. You're going to ruin dinner. And uh-huh. You don't even know if you're having a panic attack. You might not have a panic attack and you'll ruin Jill's day. So I was like, just get through this. It's awful. I kept on also saying to myself, you're the man. You can do it. You're the man.
Which you've done before.
Which
you,
I have.
You say that to yourself a lot, right? Yeah, Every morning or something?
I say that to myself whenever I do feel like things are getting too much. But usually I believe it. And like, I remember feeling like this when I was moving out of my apartment and also going to Burning Man. It felt like there was a lot of stuff. And I was just like, you can handle it. You're a beast. You'll just do it. You'll get it done. And I believe it and I do it.
Yeah.
And this time I was saying it, but I still couldn't catch my breath, and I was still stressed, and I was still feeling very, very unnerved.
All at the office. All
this is
on
all
your
in
birthday.
The car. Actually,
oh, now you leave.
Because now I've left because I have to get to Micah's
apartment.
Apartment, of course. I have to see it. I have to see a studio for my 26-year-old brother. That's what I should be doing.
It is your birthday, after all.
So yeah, I'm there seeing this apartment like about to go out, and I'm like, okay, just
you're yelling at yourself in the car.
I did scream in the car. I was like, ah, just like to try to like reset my heart rate or something.
Yeah, like maybe screaming would convince your body that you're under attack and send more whatever you need to calm down.
Yeah, so I was doing deep breaths, screaming. I punched the steering wheel once to maybe see if that would help.
Break your pinky.
but then I was just like, just suffer through this, get through this, and then have lunch. I think you have to just eat, because this is the other big wrinkle, is that I had skipped breakfast and I had 2 cups of iced coffee.
What do you usually eat for breakfast?
Usually I'll have like a banana or a smoothie or some oatmeal or cereal. I typically always eat breakfast, but this, I had like eaten so much all weekend because people were taking me out to dinner and cooking me lavish meals for my birthday.
Of course. You're the birthday boy, the special boy. You got your treats.
That I was feeling, that I was like, I'm full. I don't need breakfast. I just want to like work out. So I had exercised that morning at like 8 a.m. And I had not eaten. I had 2 cups of coffee. So sometimes having too much coffee makes my heart feel a flutter in the same way.
It's caffeine.
Right, but it's not usually compounded by all of the stress of, like, communication and dealing with shit.
Of course.
So I had that added to it. So I was, like, kind of going back and forth of being like, is this a panic attack or are you over-caffeinated? And then I had lunch.
Sometimes there's not a lot of difference between the two.
No, maybe not. But then I had lunch, and I definitely calmed down a lot. I was still feeling like worked up, but I was feeling like, man, that was crazy. You thought you couldn't deal with anything. It's fine. And I like got, and I that was able to like work through my inbox, and actually,
so right, there was so, no yeah. like tipping point. There was no breakdown.
There wasn't. No, this whole thing lasted for like 2 hours, so it felt like that was the breakdown. Like the breakdown was almost not knowing if I was having a breakdown. Well, maybe I had the breakdown.
Right. But there was no like curling up, sweating, hyperventilating.
No.
Complete disconnect.
Yeah. The closest I got was like really understanding why that happens to people. But I was like, it's not going to happen to me, but I can get why anyone would do it. And I do want to curl up, but that sounds nice, but I can't. And I did not.
I got it. And then since then?
Since then, I've sort of, yeah, I feel much better. I feel the kind of interest. I definitely feel like this lingering clarity around anxiety and feeling very empathetic for people going through stress.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's like related to my panic attack, like my being an empath or something.
Oh, because you are now thinking about other people dealing with anxiety, and then that stresses right. you out.
And I always do. Like, I always think about, like, how other people feel and stuff, but I definitely don't do it and then also feel incredibly sorry for them like I have.
I wonder if this will change anything in you, because everyone says if, like, if you're dealing with anxiety, you should try meditating or therapy, two things that you don't really do.
Right. I definitely don't do therapy.
Do you think that stuff
I do
would help
things
you?
That I find that are meditative.
Yeah.
But they're not like sitting down and being fully like meditative. But I think like running is meditative to me. Climbing is very meditative. I don't know if I am that interested in therapy.
But it couldn't hurt.
It couldn't hurt, but it'd be another appointment to keep.
But imagine like your brain and your thoughts as this tangled ball of wires, and like you just have to untangle.
Have you found that that's what you've been doing in therapy?
Yeah, I mean, it helps me. It helps to talk to somebody who's kind of a stranger that is like completely unaware of anything else in your life. So you can be like super honest with this person because they don't know anybody.
Right.
It's all your POV.
And do you feel like tightly wound? Do you feel stressed out ever?
I feel stressed out, not to that extent. Though I will say like you have more obligations than I do between D&D and 5 siblings that rely on you to several degrees. Mm-hmm. Like my brothers are older, so it's never like, hey, can you help me do this? Like my doctor brother never says that to me.
Yair doesn't text you to do him a solid.
Can you see a studio for me? You have a beautiful home, 2 lovely daughters. No, I won't see a studio for you.
He doesn't need that.
So what was I saying? Oh yeah, I never feel like stressed out to the point of panic attack mode. But, you know, there are like thoughts that you can't really communicate with people because it's all like biased point of views or about them. So it does help to see and talk to somebody who's also, quote unquote, a professional.
Right. I guess I wonder if even with a therapist that I would sometimes, even when I talk to a therapist, if I like complained about someone that I love, I would feel so guilty. Well, maybe this is something I should work with in therapy.
I would feel so guilty.
I can't remember if I've told the story on the podcast or not, but I remember when I was like in 5th grade or something, writing a journal entry one time when I was mad at my mom.
Oh, yeah. And then you tried to destroy it or change it so that you wouldn't
I did tell the story. Right. So I wrote down like she cares about like our this house in Brantford and it's so dumb. And then like 2 lines later, like I guess it's not that dumb.
But that's like, something you could talk about in therapy.
But that's what I wonder if I would like. As I'm talking to a therapist, I would be like, yeah, like I really my brother was stressing me out. I want to see this apartment, but he's not that stressful. He didn't expect me to do it. I take that on myself. It's not his fault. It's my fault. Like
yeah. And that's something that's actually come up in my therapy. I'm like, I don't like complaining. And then she's like, why? And then you talk about that and it becomes an interesting thing.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you like complaining? I don't want to be negative. Why is that negative? Now I'm like, yeah. People are she's asking me questions nobody else would.
That's it. Yeah, but I don't want to get fucking cross-examined. Why is complaining negative? I don't know. Because you're a fucking quack. That's why.
Shoving somebody. Get off of me.
Yeah, I don't know. So what do you think? Do you think I had a panic attack?
I don't know. It seems like you were trending towards it, but it seems like panic attacks last for a smaller amount of time. Like they're concentrated, like you never quite got to like the full melting point.
Oh, okay. So yeah, I guess I was worried that like all of that stuff around the idea of the panic attack was the panic attack. Because there was definitely not ever like a moment where it all fell to shit.
And yeah, it seemed like you were one thing away from it. Like if while you were driving to your brother...
I got into a car accident.
Yeah.
Or maybe that would have crystallized everything and I would have been like, nothing matters, everything's fine.
Or if Jill called you, he's like, hey, where are you? Like, we were supposed to go to lunch today. Like, that one extra thing.
Yeah.
You were almost at the point where the straw broke the camel's back.
Yes.
But you're also... You haven't fixed anything. It's just like now maybe still laying dormant in you.
Yeah, I mean, nothing's really changed. All of all of the responsibilities are the exact same.
This is like that Full House episode where Uncle Jesse said yes to everybody and it got too much for him.
Yeah. This is going to lead into my unsolicited advice that I want to save for the next segment. But this is one other thing that's not that. It also helps me to like remember that all of this stuff doesn't have to happen at once. This is something I couldn't tell myself on Monday, but like being stressed about my trip to LA, the directing job, the booking the flights, recording 3 podcasts in a day. It's like you don't do all of that in like 20 minutes. So like after I was done with the directing job, I was like, okay, so now that's completed. Nothing else has been added. So like checking off items on that insane list helped a lot too.
Right. You realize it's like, I have so much shit to do. It's like, yeah, that's what a day is. You do the shit that you need to
do. In order. There is time for everything.
Right.
You just have to do it and not worry about doing it all at once or all of it being done. When it's all not done, thinking about all of it being done is insane. But when it's like one thing's done, you're like, oh, now I see. I can understand how things get done.
Right.
Second thing's done. It's like, all right, now we're putting a dent in this. It's kind of like feeling like you don't want to clean anything. And you're like, I'll just fold this towel. And then you do that. And you're like, no, now I'm in the zone.
Yeah, you have to get into a routine. All right, let's take a break. And then you can give your official unsolicited advice. Great. After we thank these sponsors.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes, yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah, I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog, and it is a slog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite. Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike. You're like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their fullname.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all of these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace. Thank you to Helix for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Jake, you love Helix. You sleep on a Helix.
I certainly do. That is correct. I'm proud to do it.
It's your favorite mattress. You know why? Because it's personalized to you.
That's right. I took the sleep exam. I passed the sleep test. I am certified, licensed, professional sleep, not quiz, test taker. Kind of like the bar, but for mattresses, folks.
Yeah, it says you take a Helix sleep quiz and you can find your mattress in under 2 minutes.
For some.
Super fast, super simple.
It took me 11 days to take that test.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. It was open book, but I really wanted it to be perfect.
Of course it's open book. It's just how you sleep.
Not just that, but yeah, kind of.
And then Helix has a lineup of over 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection.
That's actually what I sleep on, folks.
Wow. So you take the quiz, And then they ship you the mattress. And all mattresses come with a 10 or 15 year warranty. So if you're sleeping on a mattress for so long, it might be time to upgrade. And the best way to upgrade is by going to helix.com/segments.
Right.
Then you take that quiz and you get 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows if you go to that URL.
Damn.
So check it out. Go to helixsleep.com/segments and use the code HELIXPARTNER20.
Right on.
So the URL is helixsleep.com/segments. The code is HELIXPARTNER20. All one word. You get 20% off your mattress.
Right.
This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long.
No, sir.
So with Helix, better sleep starts now. It starts right now.
That's right.
Thanks, Helix.
Thank you. And we're back. Jake, what is your...
All right, it's panic attack related.
Yeah, we should say you spent the break sort of breathing into a paper bag.
That's right.
Yeah, crying and sweating a little
bit. That's right. So the thing that helped me unwind from my panic attack, or if I had one or whatever it was, my episode on Monday, there were like a bunch of emails that were... where people like trying to basically people that wanted my time in some way or another, like setting a meeting, setting a dinner, like asking me to listen or give notes on something or feedback, whatever. And
a responsibility.
A responsibility that I usually do say yes to. I do have a hard time saying no. And I think even though I didn't respond and just say, no, I can't do this, because they're like responsibilities that are related to the jobs that I have and that I like.
Yeah.
If somebody is like, hey, can you take a look at my student film? I would say no.
You would say no.
I would say no.
Starting now.
I mean, I would pretty much always say no to something like that. The things that I say yes to are like an agent emails me to meet with a client and look at their podcast pitches or something like that. So, but because I've had this trip, I had another job, I'm just like, it felt like everything was too much. I responded to a bunch of emails that it seemed like weren't incredibly timely. And I was just like, let's circle back on this in September.
Oh.
Just pushed everything that could be pushed a full month. Instead of being like...
So you didn't say no, you just didn't say no yet.
Yeah, well, because these are things that I have already said yes to that are, like, ongoing.
Got it.
It wasn't fully like, hey, are you around to do this? For those things, I did say no. But, yeah, for people that were following up on threads or continuing work, I was just like, this isn't going to happen. I basically just became okay with the fact that I wasn't going to get everything done.
Yeah.
In the timeline I had set for myself arbitrarily.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, you're going to prioritize the things that need to happen in August and the things that can happen in September. I'm just going to fully move them to September. So I was like, I'm out of town the rest of this month, or I'm busy the rest of this month. Well, let's check in September.
You are going on two vacations.
Yeah.
Which so they seem to be very good timed vacations.
The last 2 weeks of August.
Yeah.
I definitely need these vacations. Although the second vacation is one that's causing me a lot of stress.
Second vacation is just a job. You've taken up an accounting internship in Alaska.
The second vacation is me and Carnell and Jeff Rosenberg going to Alaska together.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Did I think that was a Jill vacation?
No, it's me and Carnell and Jeff. It's going to be awesome. But Alaska is so huge and vast, and it requires so much research and booking and like getting gear. I'm on my computer dealing with all this shit. And then also just like somebody from Denali Creekside Cabin being like, do you want to book a hella hike? Like, I do, but I can't now. Christ. I have to look up 9 different hella hikes and see which one is the best one.
Did you ever buy those socks I recommended to you?
I did. I was wearing them yesterday.
Pretty good, right?
They're good. They're really good.
I know you sometimes like to keep tabs open on your computer for months at a time.
I did. I kept those open for a long time. And yeah. I got a couple different. I got Bombas socks.
Yeah.
And I got the, what are the, yours
Balega.
Called? Balega socks.
So you're doing some
I got some Stan socks. Yeah, doing a sort of like some sock research.
Got it. Let us know what you end up with.
Cool.
Not that we're selling any ads about socks.
No. Well, someday we might, and then I'll say that I like those ones. What about you? Do you have any unsolicited?
No, wait. What was your specific unsolicited? Saying no to things?
Just, I guess it's like, it's. I mean, saying no to things, definitely. I also said during my panic, or during my episode, that that I was going to start saying no to things, and that helped a little bit. But I also think that it's fine to like, to basically move your responsibilities further down the road if they're causing you a lot of stress, if they can be. I think you can, I think it's totally fine to, because everyone really is just putting the onus back on somebody else.
Yeah.
Like all of my emails weren't like, hey, like, let's get together and finish this right now. It's like checking in on the status of this to like, it's really just getting it out of your inbox and onto somebody else's plate. So I was doing a lot of just like, taking it, but also being like, we're not gonna ping pong this for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I can't deal with that.
What do you do with people you don't know emailing? Do you respond with no, or do you not respond at all? Because what I end up doing is like, I'll answer this later. Ah, this was 4 weeks ago. I'll just delete the email.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's healthier to just delete it right away with a no, or just delete it right away and not respond.
I don't let anything linger. So if I'm not, I make a decision as I'm looking at it, if I'm going to respond or not.
So it's like, hey, I went to your old high school and we're doing interviews and I'd love to pick your brain about stuff.
Yeah. I really try to do a little, like, so here's maybe an example of something like that I wouldn't respond to. Somebody emailing, be like, hey, I got your email from so-and-so. I'm trying to make it as a writer. Do you have any suggestions? I'm just uh-huh. like, no, I don't like that's somebody that is doing the laziest thing, that is basically saying like, do you have an idea for me like that I can do? Do you have a shortcut for me? Hi, I want to be a writer. Do you have a shortcut? And I don't like emails like that. But if it's somebody that's like, here's a pilot that I wrote. This is nobody fucking emailed me your pilot if yeah. you're listening. But if it seems like they've done a lot of work and they're willing to do a lot of work and it's not just like asking for a shortcut.
But a stranger asking you to read their pilot, you would do that?
No, I wouldn't just read a random pilot.
So would you respond and say, I can't do this, or would you archive right away?
I think I would really just, I try to deduce every single time if it's somebody asking for a shortcut or if it's somebody who's done a lot and like is willing to put in effort and work and wants to hustle.
Yeah.
So I'm identifying if they're a jackass or a hustler.
Yeah.
And I respond to hustlers. I like that. I appreciate it. So sometimes I do respond to random people that get my email address.
But jackasses get the archive, no response forever.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But then, I mean, then there's also things that are just like, I can't deal with this, and I'll archive it. It runs the gamut, I guess.
From no all the way to yes, and I'm having a panic attack trying to help you.
Yeah, I mean, those right now would probably just be like, I don't have time for this, but I appreciate it.
All right, well, speaking of things we have to do, how about answering a question on a freaking advice podcast?
It's about time.
We're out of time, actually.
Wow, awesome.
Back next week. No, let's see if we can get to a few. But hopefully this was therapeutic, not just for you, but for other people listening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel so much better.
All right. Here's one from a dude that seems to be in a crazy predicament as well.
Cool.
We'll call him, I don't know, Mike, because right. You're going to Alaska with Mike.
Yeah, baby.
So last week, my girlfriend and I broke up. I wouldn't let her break things off, so I kept talking to her, hoping we could realize things.
Oh, no.
Flash to the weekend where she wants me to go to a party with her, but I decide I probably shouldn't because I didn't want to mess things up just as we were patching things up. At the party, her and her ex kissed, but she ran out crying and called me, telling me to come over. We then spent the whole weekend together, and then she told me about what happened. and I don't know what to do. I'm not mad, but it seems like every time she's around this guy, he tries to pull a move. She's insisting on being friends with him. What should I do? She wants to get back together. Should I leave this girl? Please help me. Thanks in advance for reading this.
Yes. Yes. You guys absolutely break up.
Every sentence in this email was wrong.
Yeah.
And it was a full paragraph of it.
And I didn't, like, it's weird because at the onset I thought he was insane. And then now I think she's insane. But I guess they're just both insane.
This strikes me as like a young romance where like everything is just fucking crazy and you have no basis of it.
It's funny to imagine people that are in like these kind of bad relationships. Like, I can't get, like... It feels almost like they're in a Sims video game where you're like, you can't escape this person's orbit. Yeah. You're right in your world. But like, that's not the way it actually is.
But when you're like 19, that's all you know.
Right. But the world's so big. You just don't have to be next to someone driving you insane.
Yeah,
you not have to share space with somebody that gives you grief.
I think your world grows as you get older. Like, when you're a kid, it's just your family. Then it's like your family and friends. Then it's high school. You start to meet other high schoolers. Like, whoa, this is getting kind of crazy. I know 12 people. Then you go to college and you're like, there's like 400 people. So like, you still feel like you're in the circle. And then you graduate from college and you're like, okay, now I'm in the world.
Yeah.
And I can go anywhere in the world.
Right.
You can even leave a city in the world.
Yeah.
Once you're in the world, you can move anywhere in the world.
The world's big. The world's big.
Except for North Korea, I feel like you can go anywhere in the world.
Right, definitely. And if you're in North Korea, you can't go anywhere in the world either.
So I don't know if you're in high school, college, or after, but it seems like you should just break up with this lady, which I think you already did, but then you kept talking to her so she could realize things. She also kissed another guy, so it seems like there's a lot there. There's a lot of drama.
It's weird to, like, I understand somebody being like, I want to be friends with my ex, but if you recently kissed them and they're actively trying to get back together with you, being friends with them doesn't seem like it should be a priority.
Move to Canada. I don't know if you're in Canada or what, but that's my suggestion.
This is absolutely like an Australia question.
That's a complete restart.
This has to be from Brisbane.
You're moving to a completely new country. It's a whole new restart. It's a refresh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Your age or location, definitely break up. This is a terrible situation.
And it doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
All right. One last question. This one also seems to be from a younger dude. Who is your best friend at age 15?
15? What grade was I in?
Ninth. Actually, you were still in third, right?
That's right. Yeah, I stayed back. Then I skipped ahead, but then I went way back. Who was your best friend at 15? Rami?
15, yeah, high school. Jesse, Rami, Ofer, the same people kids. I'm friends with now.
Cool.
Haven't aged at all. We'll call this guy Jesse. Hey guys, I'm a huge fan of the show and I'm having a little bit of a dilemma. I'm in high school and I have not gotten with a girl for over a year. I'm a pretty normal guy, not weird or anything, but I just realized I've been on such a dry streak that it's starting to freak me out. No matter what I do, I cannot get with a girl. Are my standards too high? I'm certainly not ugly, but I'm not the greatest looking guy. Should I lower my standards and just scrape the bottom of the pail for literally anything I can get? Or should I stay patient? Any advice is great.
That's a good question. I don't know.
He's dry.
He's a dry in high school. Dry guy.
Can you
guy.
Have a dry streak in high school? I feel like high school for me was all desert. There was no dry streak.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of...
It was just dryness.
There were, I mean, mostly. I guess mostly.
I wasn't cool enough to be like, I haven't gotten with a girl in a while. I'm in a dry streak in fucking 10th grade.
Yeah, no way. I think in high school, like once a year was about good.
It's an oasis. Sure. You can capture these smaller miracles as they come, but I wouldn't call the time in between getting with, which I'm glad that's still a slang that people are using. I thought that was antiquated. Mm-hmm. Getting with was like when I was in high school. In the late 90s, people said getting with.
Right.
It's still happening.
That's true. That's nice.
Although this email was written in 1999.
That's fair. So we used to say like, oh, I'm like talking to so-and-so. I'm talking to Danielle. And that would mean hooking up.
Really?
Like, yeah.
No.
Like we're talking.
We're talking. That seeing means... each other seems to be the most passive one I've ever heard. Seeing each other means dating, hooking up.
Seeing each other is definitely, like that implies everything. But being like, oh yeah, like me and her are talking. That's like not anything.
Yeah. That, you talk to a principal.
Yeah.
Are you? And like, I only hooked up with her once.
Are you talking to Avital?
We're chatting, but I don't know if we're talking yet. Did that get based on text aiming? Is that what talking
maybe,
started
maybe
as?
It was in, I mean, it was definitely in before text, but maybe it was an aim thing.
Should I lower my standards and scrape the bottom of the pail for literally anything?
I just, like, I don't feel like his standards are that firm regardless.
Yeah.
Like, I sort of get the sense from this question that he would hook up with anything.
I think if he's calling it a dry streak.
Yeah. I think that all you can really do, because lowering your, I just don't think that lowering your standards actually gets you laid any faster.
It's hard not to be ugly in high school too. It's the ugliest time.
Right. Everyone's ugly. I think all you can do is be patient. Like, you'll hook up with somebody eventually.
Or you won't.
There'll be a party. It's summertime. That happens.
You can also try masturbating. That's like kind of hooking up, but you don't have to get anybody else involved.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's
it still feels idea. Good sexually.
I wonder if any of our listeners have thought of something like that. Yeah.
So like, you can always try jerking off. That way, it's like you get the release.
I should have done that when I had my panic attack.
Oh, yeah. Why didn't you just J-O? You were already trembling.
The last thing that you can deal with.
You get caught in the office.
All right, I just have to freaking nut, I think. I'll feel better after that.
You're currently viewing a studio for your brother. Can you at least go into the bathroom?
You think he's going to apply or not?
Can you be his guarantor?
I don't know, you 40-year-old Hasidic man. I just have to fap in the bathroom quickly.
All right, let's give him his time. If he can J-O in the bathroom, then his brother's going to live here. Did your brother end up taking that place?
He applied and he didn't get it.
So you saw the
It was
studio.
Good. He liked it was a good spot. He liked it. He tried. It was actually the place where John Carlo and John Grimm used to live.
Oh really?
Remember that?
Off the gram.
Yeah.
Above Kim's grocery.
Yep, which is gone now, I think.
Is it the same exact unit? No, that was like a two bedroom.
No, they had a two bedroom, but it was on the same floor.
So you have jerked off there before.
That's right.
Because we had that Christmas party there.
Right. We did the circle jerk Super Bowl party.
That's how we filled out our square.
We shot one of our first video If I Were Used There.
I think the first video.
The first one.
So, you know, it's all full circle, I guess.
Somehow.
So, yeah, relax. However that may translate to you, high schooler.
Mm-hmm.
God, I can't imagine being in high school today. Too much stimulus.
Yeah, no. I would not like to be a high schooler with an iPhone.
I wouldn't last. I wouldn't last 4 years, let alone a day. All right, that's it. That's our episode. We crammed two questions in after a lengthy discussion about mental health.
Yeah, thanks for letting me indulge and talk about myself for so long.
And you. Looking forward to your next birthday.
Oh, Jesus.
All right, if you have your own questions, your own theme songs, send them to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. This episode will come out either when you're in Nantucket or in Alaska.
So one of those two.
Hopefully we hear what happened there. Hopefully it was a calm vacation for you guys.
Yeah, follow me on Instagram. You can see all my vacations. That's cool. I'm actually trying to get as many followers
all right.
as
me. We will be back next week.
I got to make up
30K. Everybody. Wait a minute, the closing theme song.
All right.
opening theme song was written by Ryan. And this closing one, Derailed by the Bit, was written by Joshua Leach. Joshua Leach.
Nice.
Thanks, Joshua. Thanks, Ryan. Thanks to you guys for listening. Follow Jake on Instagram. We'll be back. Bye.
Hey there, part two from England. Yo, yeah, Jake and sick as a deer, there's noise in your ears ringing loud and clear. And if I were you, and do, would pay myself due, and I swear to let it be. If I were you, show.com. If I were you, show.
show.com. That was a HeadGum Podcast.